السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وهو ولي الصالحين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Respected brothers, elders in Islam, it is the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this evening. Allah has given us the opportunity together and to discuss and to understand the Kalamullah, the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be alive till the day of Qiyamah and till the world ends. And it has been concern of many brothers and especially Uncle Faiz Mustafa's concern that we are learning and reading so many books, we are reading so many authors' books, and we call ourselves, we are professional in certain fields. But in day of Qiyamah, if Allah asks us a question that I have revealed you a Quran, a revelation, that how much time did you devote in order to understand something according to your capacity? And there are so many obligations that we have to do towards the Quran, that basically we all have understood that, and we do that, we make sure that we do that, is the recitation of the Holy Quran. From soon as a child has been born, first thing that we do before even we take him to preschool, that we make sure that he reads the Quran. We take him for a Hazrat or Imam, that he will learn read the Quran. Our responsibility is not over. How reading and reciting the Quran is one of our duty obligation, likewise, understanding the Quran is also one of our primary obligations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeatedly asking in Holy Quran that I have made this Quran very easy, I have made this Quran easy to understand, easy to memorize. And in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why aren't they pondering and contemplating over this Quran? Allah is asking, why aren't they doing this? Keeping repeatedly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us. So alhamdulillah, it's a great opportunity for me that by having a class like this, I will learn so many things and I can exchange whatever I have learned from my ustaz. And mashallah, you all also can have question and answer session. Before I get into the introduction of the science of Quran, I want to give how our class, the structure will be. The first session will be the introduction for the the Quran, and the introduction for the tafsir. Tafsir means the explanation of the Quran. How did the Sahabas understood? One is the understanding the direct meaning. That's what we have the translation. By that, we will never be able to understand the entire Quran. For example, in many translations, and Brother Yusuf Ali, Brother Yusuf Ali, in his translation, he has given example for the translation. What is it? In a prison, those days the prison, they won't allow the sunlight to come in. Even Nelson Mandela was staying for so long in such type of prison, when he came out he lost his eyesight, because seeing after a long time he's seeing sunlight. Only rays, they allow just one ray coming and it splits away. So Quran is like sun, and what we're getting from translation is just one of the ray, one of the lights from the sun. So by just looking at the translation, we will never be able to understand the meaning, what that we're supposed to understand from it. So alhamdulillah, we have got opportunity to go into the tafsir. So the structure will be the introduction to the tafsir, and then second, we will get into the very important Surah Fatiha. Surah Fatiha, I will do a detailed tafsir, because every day we are reading it. And many ulamas and many sahabas have said the entire meaning of the Quran contains in Surah Fatiha. Entire meaning of the Quran. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting from us by addressing, by this revelation, the entire meaning is contained in Surah Fatiha. So, word by word, detail, inshallah, we will go through the tafsir of Surah Fatiha. And there is a hadith where Allah subhanahu, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after every verse, Allah is replying for our word. After every verse in Surah Fatiha when you're reading, so when we get this meaning, inshallah, we will have that feeling in salah, our salah, the level of piety will increase, inshallah. Then, before getting into the big surahs, like Surah Baqarah, Suratul Nisa, Ala Imran, because it takes time, we get into the surahs, day to day we read from Suratul Duha downwards. Small surahs. So we have mashallah, we can beautifully do one surah for the whole session or two surahs. So from one duha downwards, we will go on small surahs. Then every day in salah, we read this surah. When we read, then this, the meanings and the explanation what I gave you all, inshallah, that will come into your mind. That will help you all to concentrate in your salah, and again to increase the level of piety, increase your what you call the salah, the standard of your salah. That is something very important when it comes to the standard of salah, improving it. We all praying, but improving the communication. We all trying, you know, communication is that, salah is the communication between us and Allah. So everywhere in the world they are trying to improve the, you know, the mode of communication. So this how we can improve our communication between Allah and ourselves. And then after completing that, then we come back from Surah Baqarah onwards. When it comes to Surah Baqarah, if you take word by word, I don't think we will even be able to finish in 1 year. It might even take a couple of years. So what I will do is that I will take few verses and important lessons which is there in that surah specifically. I will take, for example, the story of the cow is there. So the entire verses pertain into the story of cow, and about the Jews Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speak in Surah Baqarah. How did they act? So all those important information and certain rules and regulation which is pertaining to our day-to-day life, I will derive that and inshallah then put it to you all. Then when it comes to Surah Baqarah, then you will know in whole this is what Surah Baqarah is all about. And then again Surah An-Nisa, Ala Imran. After we do that, so I'm hoping inshallah to complete within maybe 1 year, inshallah it might take us. Within 1 year we will be able to complete that. And after that inshallah, if we have time and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts and make this program a successful, should go till the generation after generation till the day of Qiyamah. Today is the starting, mashallah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, whoever starts a good action, that is a sunnah, and people who followed after that, the people who started first, they get the entire reward till the day of Qiyamah. Inshallah, soon as long as this is going to continue, the people who are front of us, all of us, inshallah, are going to get that reward, inshallah. This is what the sahabas, all the a'mal what we are doing, the sahabas are getting because they are the front line. They are the front line. So that is very important. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us part of that. I hope that this will be okay. If you all have any idea on the structure, I should change it. And I will give you all notes. Today I did not come with the notes because I don't have idea how many of you are coming. So I will give you all notes of now the introduction of the Quran. I will give it in English and I have it. I can give it in Sinhalese as well. English and Sinhalese, not in Tamil, but English and Sinhalese I will be able to give the notes. And my preparation inshallah. And I plan to have it every second week. That is the second Friday and the fourth Friday. Is it okay with you all? Oh, we must. You see, once every week it will be difficult for me as well as for you all. So, second week Friday and the fourth week Friday. Today is the fourth week Friday. So, our next session will be again, inshallah, on the 8th. June 8th, inshallah. So, we keep a track and we will have some brothers to keep on reminding you all. And I want you all to do some homework. Now we know tomorrow, the next week surah will be Surah Al-Duha. So before you all come, go through the translation and come, then it will be easy. So some homework that we can work. And along with that, alhamdulillah, we will be able to capture the words which comes in Quran. And when that word has been repeated, we'll know that this is what it meant. This is what it meant. Alhamdulillah, we have seen a lot of people, they don't know to speak Arabic, but alhamdulillah, they understand the Quran. They understand the Quran because it is they have learned it, they have been under that. There are some people who for 5 years, I met a brother in South Africa, for last 5 years he is doing tafsir and he is enjoying after and after because every time he learns the Quran, he gets something else, Allahu Akbar, day to day life. He gave me an example, he said, sometime I have a problem, I don't know how to solve that, to whom to consult, I come to the class, Sheikh has answered my problem. So Allah, that according to your need, even the Quran was something practical. It was revealed in that way, inshallah. I will explain to you all in the introduction. If anything there is to be added to our structure, then your suggestions are welcome. Or we can go on to the introduction, inshallah. Brother Sahal? Uncle? Is it okay that? Any suggestions? Brother Sami? Thank you. Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it comes to the introduction, I'll give you the notes inshallah in the next session. You all just can listen and record it, and next session I'll give the detailed notes inshallah. When it comes to the introduction of the Quran, Quran is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is not a new revelation, it is a continuation of the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for all the prophets. Before that there were many revelations like Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, and even some called Suhs that was revealed to many prophets in scriptures, in small scriptures according to the time, according to situation. So same type of revelation, only the Quran. It is a continuation. When for all those prophets, the mediator, the person who brought the message was Jibreel alayhi salam, same person brought the message to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is Jibreel alayhi salam. So it is nothing new. When it comes to the world, even Ahlul Kitab, they were trying by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah was saying that he is a prophet, they were trying and asking many questions and seeing is something else he is saying. So in Surah Baqarah we will be discussing about their questions, to trying out and seeing, to testing him whether this is he is speaking something else or not. For example, about the people of cave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Tawrat also about the people of cave, and they came and asked, what are you saying about the people of cave? Then Allah revealed in Quran as well. So it is not something new. The revelation came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no contradiction between Tawrat and Quran. Some say there is contradiction. No. Because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is wasn't from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be contradiction. For example, in this world, one author, 10 years ago he wrote one book, 10 years later he wrote another book. If you compare both that, there will be so many contradiction, because that is not human being. But Allah's revelation, even 1,000 years before what he revealed, after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 1,000 years later he reveals something, there is no contradiction in that. That is a continuation of the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent time to time for every prophet in order to guide the humanity, take them from darkness and to the light. That is a very important thing. It is a continuation. Right. When it comes to Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Kitab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named it many names for Quran. We only know Quran. Some says Tanzeel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran, Tanzeelum min Rabbil Alameen. For Quran, you can say Quran. Quran means something that you read. Quran means something that you read. It comes from word Qara'a. So that Allah made it in such way, in whole world, only book that people read without understanding is the Quran. They don't understand, but they read it. And only book in the whole world that when you read, for every letter you get rewarded. You get reward. For every letter, Allah gives for every letter 10 rewards. Allahu Akbar. So every time Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained in that hadith, Alif, Lam, Mim. Alif, Lam, Mim, you get how many rewards? 30. For Alif 1, Lam 1, Mim 1. And in that hadith they give detailed explanation. If it is Alif, Lam, Mim of Surah Baqarah, then it is what? It is 30. If it is Alif, Lam, Mim of Suratul Alam Tara, Alam Tara, then it is multiplied more, because there is more hidden letters into that. So every letter in Holy Quran, that is the one difference. When you read the hadith, for every letter you don't get reward. For the whole act you get a reward. But the only book, that only revelation, that when you read for every letter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in hadith, amongst you, the best person amongst you, the one who reads the Quran and teaches to others. Reads the Quran and teaches others. So alhamdulillah, we have come to a point that we are reading every day in the morning. Now we have come to a point to try and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, that revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one name is Quran. Another name is known as Tanzeel. Tanzeel meaning revelation. Another name known as Zikr. Zikr means remembrance. Zikr means remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Holy Quran, نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الزِّكْرِ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. We have revealed this zikr, this remembrance, and it is upon us to protect that. That's something very important. People can try how much they want, whatever they want, and this Quran is from Allah. No one can change it, no one can harm. that historically Allah has proven that. When you see the development and how the Quran has been preserved, so it has been proven, alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says another verse about when it comes to Quran, it says kitab, that is book. Normal name, everyone says it's a kitab. And it is the names of the Holy Quran. Now when it comes to Revelation, the first verse which was revealed, no one has doubt about it, it's a verse about Iqra. And Allah says first to read. Before understanding, before practicing, that we have to read the Quran. And whenever you read, whatever you read by the name of Allah. Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. When you come to the tafsir of Surah Al-Alaq, inshallah I'll explain detailly how that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about our origin. Because we have studied, we have learned, we have come to a level and we forget from where we came. That's what happens to us. Insan, all the problem in the world, when you see the problem in the family, everything, that the basic thing that he has forgotten where he came from. So Allah is reminding in the first verse, that is Iqra, and that ayah was revealed in month of Ramadan, the first verse in the month of Ramadan, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting in the cave of Hira, in the month of Ramadan, cave of Hira, and contemplating and thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the creation of Allah. When you were doing this, Jibreel alayhi salam came, three times he hugged and let him go, three times he did that, and he read this, Iqra, 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 and the fourth time he said, Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. This is the first verse which was revealed. And the second and third, scholars have different opinion, that is the first verses of Suratul Muzzammil. Surah Muzzammil and Suratul Muddassir. The last word, the last revelation was, many people we think that the last ayah was revealed was Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum, that Allah says in Surah Ma'idah, that I have completed my what? Ni'ma, the bounties upon you, and I have completed the religion. Because that shows that it is that final. After that verse, not a single rules and regulation in Islam was revealed. That says that the ahkama, the rules and regulation, the sharia has been completed. But after that also revelation continued. The last verse which was revealed was, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. That is the verse which was revealed, the last verse which comes in Surah Al-Baqarah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about the day that we're going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, fear that day, تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. All of you are going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. On that day, every soul will be given what he have earned. Allahu Akbar. Now here, we are earning. This is also one of our part of our business. Alhamdulillah, our rewards are, you know, our accounts are going higher and higher, mashallah, bank balance, because we are earning all this. Inshallah, on day of Qiyamah, we are going to see the reward of it. This is the last verse which was revealed. In between, the beauty of the Quran, all the other kitabs, Tawrat, Injil, Zabur, and all the scriptures, it was revealed at once. The whole book, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran was revealed completely to the heavens of the dunya in the month of Ramadan. Entire Quran was preserved there. But what is the difference between the Tawrat, Injil and Quran? The Tawrat and Injil, Allah revealed it at once. The entire book was what? Compiled, correction is done, everything is checked and given, okay, practice. This was very difficult upon whom? The people of Israel. Tawrat also was revealed to son of Israel, and again Injil also was revealed. It was very difficult upon them because the entire rules and regulations in front of you, how can you know changing your life? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the ummah of, you know, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah time to time, according to situation. Even some verses, when it comes to the prohibition of, you know, consumption in wine, it was not done at once. The beauty of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understood the situation of kafir at that time. If I tell them, don't do it at once, they will not accept it. It's very difficult. They were into it. Time to time. First verse was, when you are drunk, don't come for salah. You are najis, so don't come. Wa antum sukara, don't come. Then step by step, in the end says, it is najis, it is haram, don't ever think about it. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching the ummah, time to time, practically Quran was what? Taught. And that's something very important. Why we need to know tafsir is that, an incident for every ayah, most of the ayat there was an incident took place, and after that only the revelation took place. Sometimes for one ayah to be revealed, many incidents together, what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes with one ayah. So that is called sababun nuzul, the reason for the revelation. This is what the ulama of mufassirun, the people who are expert in giving explanation, that they have mastered. You can know Arabic language, but if you don't know this, then you will never be able to what? Explain that. Something very important. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَسَمَّ وَجْهُوَ. Wherever you turn, that you find Allah, you will find Allah. So in Salah, one of the condition in Salah that you have to face towards Kaaba, the Qibla. So someone take the translation of the Quran and say, Quran has said that wherever you turn, that you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I can even say from east to west, I'll pray towards the west, Allah is there. He will practice. If he don't know why that ayah was revealed, what happened? Sahabas and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were traveling. In the traveling, they could not find out the direction. At the moment now, we have a lot of equipment to find out the direction. They were trying here and there, and there was a big issue now. The time is going to pass, the salah time, then they find it difficult. Then Allah immediately reveal and say, don't worry about it. Face whatever you want and pray that you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you cannot take that ayah and implement in general what? In general context in your life, that is something very important, and it's relevant for me to explain to you. There are so many explanations of Quran, translations are available when you go to internet. One translation that you have to be very, very careful about, a translation is known by Rashid Khalifa. This person is a very a scholarly man, a Rashid Khalifa. Don't even refer it. And his brother, Faisal Mustafa, knows a brother who is totally in a different type of thinking, mentality, that he went wrong by reading this translation. By reading this translation, he comes to a conclusion, says, Quran is the only book that we should follow. We don't need to take hadith. And he gives his own explanation according to time and suitability. So what happened, this Rashid Khalifa, he was a very, he's very active, he could speak very nice. He was from India, and he graduated from Egypt and all those things. And he was well known, and he had a large number of followers. What happened? He became so popular, he thought, whatever I say, people will start listening to me. And he compiled this translation, it was accepted by them. What happened, eventually he said, I am also getting revelation. He went to an extent saying that, Allah must safeguard all of us, because shaitan can, divert us. That is something very important. The diversion takes place in our life without even realizing. He thought, I am getting so much of popularity, I have so much people, they will accept me. Then he said his own followers stood up and shot him. He was killed by his own follower. And that recently some people who is trying to mislead the Muslim Ummah, they have uploaded it in the internet and they are going through this. And it is one translation that we have to be very careful about, that is known as Rashid Khalifa. The translation known as Rashid Khalifa, he gives interpretation as well. Again, what I am saying, you need to know why this verse was revealed. And sometimes you ask a question. Other day I went to SLBC, a Tamil professor from, very known professor from Columbia University. He has come and he has asked in SLBC, said, why Allah is taking, promise over so many things? Allah is taking oath, by the moon, by the sun, by the Allah. Another very important thing that we have to learn, that certain clarification we get through when we do tafsir. For example, orientalists, there are a group of people who study Islam in order to attack Islam. We call them orientalists. They study Islam. So in fact, even sometimes they know Islam better than some of our scholars. They will even argue some scholars will get stunned because they are so much, they are very smart, because they have done research in order to attack Islam. In that they will always pick the controversial verses which has double meaning, and they will not give the background of that verse, and say one of that is that they tell to the Western world that Islam says in the Quran says in Allah says in Quran to hit women. When it comes to the ayah where when the wife disobeys you, there is a method as well. First you Wa'iduhum, you advise her, then stay away from her. Without speaking to her, you stay away, then sleep away from her. In the end, the last mode of, you know, rectifying her, Quran has said, Fadribuhum. You even hit her. But then, taking this word, Baru, they say, you know, see, Quran is saying to hit women, you know, how bad and how evil and how cruel it is, and then we give the bad impression. And some of us, you know, even professional intellectuals, even we get carried away saying, you know, it's true, you know, Quran has used that word. When you go and look at the Quran and translation, exactly that word has been used. There's no doubt about it. So what happened? Then we need to go and go back in the tafsir and see how did Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and sahabas practice that verse. Because that was revealed in a situation when it was they were having a problem, then did they practice that? How did they practice? Did they hit? Is there any incident that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit his, you know, his wives? Na'uzubillah. And even sahabas did that. When you go through even that, you know, some narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when one lady came and told, Ya Rasulullah, I want to marry so and so. A very famous, popular person, sahabi. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't marry him. He will never keep his cane down. That means, anything you do wrong, he will, you know, give you. That means he never encouraged. He said, don't, but you get married to so and so, he is very kind. He will come. At that time, sahabas used to use, you know, miswak. They used to have always the miswak with them. Whenever they have a problem, they had tried all those things, nothing worked out. In order to just to reprimand as a last one, they used to touch with that miswak. That is what the darb means in the Quran. So we cannot go ahead, and when it's explaining that also. So it's very important, we get clarification when we go through verse by verse and ayah by ayah and every verse. Then we get clarification how we're supposed to understand, how did sahabas understand and practice those words in the time of Rasulullah. So that is very important. Right. And why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveal Quran not at once, part by part? Ulama says many reasons for it. First reason is that kafirs were, you know, the disbelievers were torturing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continuously. So only mode of relief was for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and was a revelation. When a revelation is coming, he feels so, you know, happy about it, that Allah is with me. That is, Allah is with me. We know an incident, once, you know, Quraysh, kafir, they came and asked many questions. In that, amongst them is about the ruh, about the soul. يَسْأَلُونَ كَانِ الرُّوحَ Allah says in Holy Quran. Then about the people of cave. So many questions. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without even mentioning inshaAllah, he said that, come tomorrow, I will tell you. Come tomorrow, I'll inform you. When he said this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching a lesson to sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for you to say tomorrow, that you need to say inshaAllah, if Allah wills. So Allah delayed the revelation for 17 days. Approximately 17 to 18 days, the revelation was delayed. And people, the kafir will start saying, you know, the shaitan used to come and give him a say, whisper, he is not coming. Now he have no answer. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept quiet. He was calm, he was waiting. When the ayah was revealed, Allahu Akbar, he went into sujood. He went into sujood after that revelation, after the, you know, after 17 days, the first surah which was revealed is Suratul Duha. And the time which was revealed is time of Duha, that mid-afternoon. Then he immediately, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reading that, he went into sujood and thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So time to time, when they were harming him, hurting him, when a revelation used to come, it used to calm him. So he said, Allah is with me. Second reason, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very much worried whether this Quran I will be able to, you know, protect this. Sometimes when Jibreel alayhi salam used to read it, he also used to get hurried and memorize that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Doom, la tuharrik bihi lisana. Do not, you know, shake and move your tongue in order to, you know, remember that. We will protect that. And by revealing time to time, one by one, it was easy for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to memorize that. And the one book that in the whole world, Allahu Akbar, only in our country, mashallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should grant all of you and all your children and grandchildren the opportunity of memorizing the Quran. It is one of the greatest opportunity. And my ustad is very old. He used to tell, one of the ni'mah that Allah has given us, the ummah of Rasul, all of us can be amongst the people who have bi-hearted the Quran. So I was very much amazed. I said, how can? Well, I am learning. Come on. He said, don't need. It's nothing. It's not a difficult task. You keep intention today that I want to become a hafiz, and every day you try to memorize only one verse. And whatever you memorize, you keep repeating it. Either a day will come that you will memorize the entire Quran, or the death will overtake you, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect you tomorrow amongst the people who have recited the Quran. So inshallah, we can keep that intention. Whatever words we're going to learn here, inshallah, it's very easy that every Quran comes to our mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calming us. It is one of the greatest ni'mah. In day of Qiyamah, Allah will honor us and even honor our parents. Inshallah, Allah should grant our children and grandchildren as well, inshallah, that opportunity. Again, coming back, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that in a situation? In order to make that situation, when we have a book, we learn in the school, you know. Now all of us have learned, but we have forgot. Don't know in which page, when we have learned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was teaching the Quran practically, and an incident used to take place, and then the ayah was revealed. Sahabas never forget. If an incident takes place and then something happens, we remember that. Even in school you can go back, this happened and teacher taught us this. Or this happened at home and mom and dad taught us this. So if an incident takes place and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that verse, that was, you know, preserved in the hearts and the minds of Sahabas. That was the way that Sahabas understood the Quran, and practically they practiced the Quran. Right. Again, when it comes to, there are certain uniqueness in the Quran. In Quran, every surah begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inshallah, when the tafsir of Bismillah will start, I will give you detail how important is the Bismillah in our life. All the surahs start with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, except for one surah, Surah At-Tawbah, that starts without Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I will explain to you what is the reason behind it. Right. Again, Quran has been divided into 114 surah chapters. Sometimes we may have a doubt that whether these chapters were introduced later on. No. Every surah, the names of the surah and the chapters from the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told, when the verse used to reveal, he used to say, you put this verse into this surah. This ayah, this verse belongs to this surah. This verse belongs to this chapter. It begins here and it ends here. This is how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named every chapter, and he said that every ayah, the ayahs which was belong, that ayah means the revelation, the verses which was belongs to those surahs, he explained it. But only now we have chapters. Now chapter means the juz, into 30 juz. This was introduced later on. This was not introduced in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was introduced later on. I will explain to you the development, how the preservation of the Quran took place. And Quran, the ayahs of the Quran, the verses of the Quran has been divided into two, known as Makki and Madani. Certain verses are known as Makki. Makki means the Makkan revelation, and certain known as Madinian revelation. The difference between that is that whatever verses was revealed before the migration of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it can be anyway. Sometimes certain verses was revealed in Taif, in Hunayn, it's not according to the place. Before the Hijrah, that is before the migration, all those verses known as Makki. And there are some verses known as Madani, all the revelation which was revealed after Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated to Medina, those known as Madani. And there are certain special characteristics of Makki verses and Madani verses. Makki verses, generally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the day of Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam, Hellfire, and Allah speaks about the creation. Allah says, look at the mountain, look at the heaven. These are the things comes in Makki verses. And the addition will be mostly Ya Ayyuhan Nas, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, O people, O people. Because at that time the believers were very less. But there are certain characteristics of Madani verses, rules and regulations. Almost 99.9% of the ahkama, the rules and regulations of Islam, was revealed in the period of Medina. That is very important. We, through this Quran, by learning the tafsir, we can know how to develop a community, how to work with a community. Sometimes we get scholars, go to Medina or somewhere, they learn and come. At once he want to rectify everything. At once he want to put everything law in order. You know, at home he come and say, you know, you don't go out, you don't do this. Because he's taking, you have to bring it. It's very difficult. You need to know the history, how Islam came here, the development. And then when you learn the development, how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took them, make them understand about what is Allah, what is this ayahs about, why we need to do this. And then you tell them the rules and they will never listen. If not, you will make others sinners. Why? You tell, this is Allah has told you to do it and you are not ready to take it, then you should not tell it. There is a person, for example, I am telling a person, he is not ready to pray. He is not praying and he is neglectful. I can't go and say, you know, Allah is commanding you to pray. If you don't pray, you are a sinner. You go and saying that actually I am also making him another sinner. Why? If he refuses, he says, no, I don't want to pray, I am lazy, then you are making him a sinner. Rather than that, your approach should be, you know, you see that how much bounties Allah has given you. You must speak about the greatness of Allah. That how much of bounty Allah has given you. This is the method Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the Quran to approach a person. Sometimes we think, okay, I have this, so we want them to also practice the same Islam. So we go and tell at once, if he deny that you are making him sinner, so you are also part of that. So do not put a person in a situation where he will deny the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that in such way. Even when he come to the usury, interest, riba, it was not revealed at once. First says, don't charge double. You give 100 rupees and don't take 200 rupees. Then it goes on step by step. Because one of the uncle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abbas radiallahu anhu, who is very close to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the big, you know, he's a banker in Makkah. He had everyone. The situation, he was the bank, everybody's money was there and he used to borrow money and he used to charge interest. Then the end, the ayah came, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you can take the capital, not the interest. If that at once, if it was revealed, situation now, people, we are into banking. All of us are, without banking, our life is so immediately, we accept that. But it's step gradually, it's a duty of the ulama and duty of the people who work, gradually making them understand why Allah has made that haram. And then, so that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this Quran in such way. So in Medina, if you see the verse in Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu. O believers, all the addressing will be believers, and rules and regulation about the Hajj, Zakah, and all the rules and regulations about the wudu, clearly explanations all came in Medina, even about the hijab, even the, you know, women's covering, it was revealed just 3 years prior to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's demise. 3 years prior. It means the completion is coming, you know, slowly by slowly, the approaching. So the completion of Islam is getting closer. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time to time, because just if you reveal now, they will not be ready to accept that. So in that way, alhamdulillah, there are many differences between the ayats of Makki and Madani, and that the verses between what was revealed in Makkah and Medina, and the ayats, when it comes to the ayats, the verses of jihad, that's something very important about jihad, striving in path of Allah. That is, we have to get a clear understanding that we have two group of people. Some take that word in extreme way. Jihad means Allah is telling you, go and fight, and the kafir go and kill him, you know, take it in that way. Then we have to see in which situation those verses were revealed. That is very important. Again, I'm coming back to the Sabu Nuzul. Some say Allah is telling you to go and fight. Allah is not telling us at that time. No, we have to live in calm, in peaceful with others, because they are not harming us. They are not sending us out. You know, they are allowing us to practice our religion. So we can't go and fight. So whom Allah is addressing and that verse, we need to understand that. Right. Now when it comes to the Jam'ul Quran, Jam'ul Quran means the preservation and the compilation of the Quran took place 3 times in the history. Major compilation took place 3 times in the history. First, in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran was compiled. It was compiled in the heart of the Sahaba. All the Quran was available only when you want to know the Quran, when you want to read the Quran, you say, go to that person, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you can learn the Quran. And every Sahabi, according to that time, whatever they had, they have whatever the revelation, they have compiled and kept. Ali radiallahu had his own compilation. Abu Bakr Siddiq had his own compilation. Like this, they had their own. In the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was not in the form of book, it was in form of, you know, in the material which was in Sahaba's preserved in the house. So they used to read. Quran continuously was read in masjid, in salah, in Ramadan. Continuously Quran was read, and that's how it was written. Second time, the Quran was bought in the form of book, in a written document. It was gathered in a written document in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq. Time of Abu Bakr Siddiq, what happened? There was a battle after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were some people who just came into Islam. They deny, they say, you know what, when Rasulullah was there, we used to pay zakah, but now we're not going to pay zakah because we don't have trust on you. You will misuse the funds, so we're not going to pay zakah. They deny. So certain certain rules and regulations or principles of Islam, they deny. Abu Bakr Siddiq then said, I'm going to fight against them. I'm going to fight against them until they, what? Confirm to the complete Islam. That means if they reject even the zakah, that means they're out of Islam. Even if they reject the salah, they're out of Islam. So they have to accept. You know, if they don't practice, it's another story. But you have to accept. You have to accept that. As until they accept that, I will fight against that. So there was a war took place in that. Around 70 Sahabas who are the Huffaz, who have memorized the Quran, they were martyred. They became shaheed in that. So Umar radiallahu and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him a lot of wisdom. That's something, some people get a lot of wisdom. So he was the time Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, after me, if there is going to be a prophet, there is no prophet, that will be Umar. Because many a time certain revelation was revealed confirming Umar radiallahu's opinion. So his opinion going along. So he came to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, told Amirul Mu'mineen that we need to compile the Quran. He refused. He said, I am not going to do something that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do it. That is something very important. Nowadays we have some people saying, you know what, this Rasulullah didn't do it, so we shouldn't do it. It's bidah. So same type of mentality Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr Siddiq had said, bidah. I'm not going to do what the thing that Rasulullah didn't do. If it was something necessary, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have done it. So we have some people who look at that in a very... He said, hadith have said, whoever introduced something against Islam, who introduced something which is not in Islam, and he regards that as part of Islam, then that is what he said. So Umar radiallahu anhu went around amongst all the senior sahabas and he said, this is this. Then Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is going to say, yes, even though Rasulullah didn't do it, time has come, we have to do it. Time has come, we have to do it. Now, for example, some people can come and say, literally meaning, this is also bidah. We are sitting here, seated here, this Rasulullah didn't do it in this form, and it's that way. So Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was convinced. Then they were looking for a suitable person. At that time, who was well versed in Quran was Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, well versed, they called him. He said, Zayd ibn Thabit, I am giving you in charge to compile all the Quran from all the Sahaba. He also refused. He said, I am not going to do that, but Rasulullah didn't. But again, they spoke to him, they convinced him, and he said, okay, this is we have to do. Alhamdulillah, at that time they used the intellect. Allah has given us intellect also. We need to use, at this situation, yes, Quran says this, Hadith says this, without against, going against that Quran and Hadith. We cannot go there. We cannot do using the intellect and going against it. Using intellect and we can do things for it. To help, protect the Quran. For example, now there's a Quran has come in the form of pen, You just touch that. Now the technology has come up, many ayah, the translation is there, explanation. So why? Some people can't read, don't have time, and mashallah, easy way to read, people are embracing Islam. That ayah, soon as you touch that, it repeats. So according to the time, according to technology, mashallah, we can improve that. This is for Islam, for Quran. Same way they compiled. But Quran was revealed at that time in 7 different dialects. Arabs has, if you go now, the Yemeni speaks a different dialect, the Meccan speak a different dialect. But so they had so many different Arabic dialects amongst the Arabs. Different tribes used to use different. Allah revealed all the every ayah in 7 different dialects. Because the kafir, they used to refuse. It's very difficult for us to pronounce in this way. Because they are used to pronouncing in different ways. You say Tamil language also. Even English, we have the American, then the British, and then we have the Australian, the slang, all those things. Same way, the Arabic, the origin words were same, the pronunciation was different. For example, we read in Surah Fatiha, Maliki Yawmiddin. But in another dialect is Maliki Yawmiddin. We say Alayhim. In another way of reading, Alayhim. The meaning doesn't change. Meaning is same, the different way of reading it. Allah has revealed the Quran in this, all these 7 forms. So unzil al-Quran ala sab'ati hafrin. Until today, alhamdulillah, it is the beauty and it is the miracle that all seven forms are preserved and protected. We have, you know, the Qurra, you call it Qari. Qaris go and learn for 4 years, specializing to read this, the Quran, what we are reading, in seven different dialects. They will learn and come and read it. Every part of all the signs of Quran is preserved. Until the day of Qiyamah, Allah will preserve, inshallah. So, that is what it was revealed. Then second time, first in the time of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, second in time of Abu Bakr, third in time of Usman, lot of lesson to learn. In time of Usman radiallahu anhu, Islam has, you know, spread all over the world. What happened? One Sahabi who knew to read in one way, he went and taught his student that way of reading. Another Sahabi knew in a different way, he went and taught his student in a different way. Now what happened? Among their students there was big problems. Now what is happening nowadays? We have different mazhab, you know, Shafi mazhab and Hanafi mazhab and that and this. Now we are fighting. It's not an issue to make a big fight and commotion over it. Same thing happened in time of Uthman radiallahu anhu. When they used to meet, even they went to the extent of, you know, taking the swords and, you know, saying the Quran what you're reading is wrong, you are kafir. They went into that extent. It happens because when you get extreme people, then Uthman radiallahu anhu said, this is quite dangerous. This cannot happen. So he called all of them, all the governors from all the part of the world, he called all of them and said, I am willing to do something. What? I want every way in the whole world, you must maintain one form of reading. That's what we are reading now. This one way of reading should be maintained. But others you maintain and teach your students. But when it comes to general public, this is the form you have to teach them. Because general public don't understand. So then he bought from his own handwriting, because he was a Hafiz of Quran. He wrote it in one way of reading. That is the reading recitation that we are reading. Mushaf-e Osmani, even when you go to Turkey, my ustad went to Turkey's museum and he bought some pictures. It is his own writing, the Quran, some of the pages are still available in Turkey. And I think people who would have traveled would have seen directly. And my ustad bought some pictures to see. From his own handwriting, he compiled the Quran. This is the three times the Quran was compiled. And then, afterward, the manzils. You know, we have in Quran some places called a manzil and sajada. And these were introduced later on in the times of Imam. In the time when the Imams, like Shafi, Hanafi, in their period, this manzil were introduced because people were having competition in reading. Manzil is contained with 7 chapters. Even the Quran was divided into 30 chapters, 30 parts, you know, juz. It was also divided in the time of Imams in order to make it easy. Because every day they used to have competition, who is going to complete the Quran soon. So they divide into 30 parts. So if you read one part a day, 30 days, in 1 month you can complete one Quran. So some went into, I want to complete the Quran in 1 week. So they divide into manzils. So if you read 7, then in the Quran there is 7 manzils. 1, 2, 3, if you go and see, you can find 7 manzils. So in 1 week they used to complete the one holy Quran. So in 1 month, 4 Qurans was completed. So all these were introduced in order to make it. In initial Quran, even Haraka, the Fatha, that is Zabar, Zair, Pesh, was not there. And that was introduced later, because non-Arabs. Arabs can read without what? Zabar, Zair and Pesh. And non-Arabs can't read without. Even we couldn't, now we have learned the grammar, so we know the Arabic language, we can read. Others will not be able to read, so in order to make it more easy, the Zabar, Zair, Pesh was introduced. Now, in Medina, alhamdulillah, there is a whole, you know, printing place. In time of King Fahd, he has established, and mashallah, the translation of the Quran is available over 250 languages. And still they are looking into many languages, and whatever language they can translate the Quran, they have translated the Quran and they have preserved all the scriptures. They, if you go to in between the road between Makkah and Medina, the place where they print Quran, it is there, mashallah, the whole world, they are printing and sending Quran. And likewise, even Pakistan, other part of the world also, they are doing it. Alhamdulillah, Allah has preserved the Quran to us. And even someone tried to change the word, there are kuffars. Only in our country, mashallah, according to the recent survey done, we have approximately 12,000 kuffars who have memorized the Quran. Alhamdulillah. You know, 60 years ago, we had very few. 60 years later, we're having 12,000 people, who fathers, who have memorized the Quran. And you know, when you see in the history, they have said 6 years ago in masjid for Ramadan, we used to import huffaz from India and Indonesia and Malaysia. Now, alhamdulillah, our huffazes are going right from the world. So Allah have blessed us. We have 12,000, inshallah, I think. Another 10 or 60 years time, it might multiply even to 24,000, inshallah. And we also will be amongst them, inshallah. Say Ameen. Ameen, mashallah. And the next part is about the tafsir. And I think my time is over. So tomorrow I will get into the next session, that is on the 8th. I will get into the tafsir. How the tafsir, the science of tafsir developed, and how do we do the tafsir of the Quran. First, I'm briefly saying, in order, if you don't understand an ayah, first we go into Quran itself and look, is any other verses is explaining that word. If you don't find, then you go to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about it? If you don't find, then you go to Sahaba, how did they practice that? Even though you don't find it, the last form you go to the Tabi'een who met the Sahabas and who lived with them, you will ask them that how did you practice that. I'll give you one example and finish it off. You know, recent time, one of the great scholars from Pakistan, he's the founder of Karachi, Darul Uloom Karachi, you know, Islamia Karachi. Mufti Taqi Usmani and all of them, they say, we understood the words of, you know, the inheritance through my grandfather. We have learned, but practically we understood. When the grandfather's father passed away, the grandfather had a headache. Allah says in Holy Quran, Mimma kalla aw kasura. Little, and something which very little, and something very big. Everything should be divided when it comes to the state of the disease. Everything should be divided. After burial, everything was over. He was going, he said, I'm having headache. Get me, you know, some Panadol or something. So they ran and got in from the grandfather's, you know, medicine box. There was Panadol and came and gave. He said, my grandfather asked that, from where did you bring this? He said, this from your father's medicine box. He said, this have to be divided, that belongs to the inheritor. So this is what he understood. He said, then only I understood how deep that Quran ayah is. We don't take care about it. It is his property. Even that, we after understanding to whom it should go, that way only I can have it. So you go to the shop and get some. So in this way, practically we need to learn Quran, inshallah. So in tafsir, we will understand those things. Inshallah, our next ayah is Surah Fatiha. So come with reading the translation of Surah Fatiha. I will take some time because there are a lot of interesting things that might elevate our, increase our iman when you read the Surah Fatiha and understand that Allah is communicating with us. Every word Allah is answering us. So may Allah Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our gathering and give us the tawfiq to practice according to what we have learned and convey to others. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanallah bihamdi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin wa alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رب صل عليه. For more lectures visit slhub.com.